Let us return to 2 Samuel chapter 23, and we shall choose for our text there verses 9 and 10. 2 Samuel chapter 23 at verse 9. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. And they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. Amen. We want to meditate upon one of David's heroes this evening, that we might glean something from his life for our own life and our own edification. The title of our meditation is simply Hold Fast. Hold Fast, because this is what this man did. It does seem that David had gathered a band of men who were sympathetic towards him and who recognized that he was the truly anointed king of Israel, and they sided with him through thick and thin. And as David was coming to the end of his life, we have here recorded for us some of David's mighty heroes. We might not realize it, but the life of David was an illustrious life. But the Bible probably does not record all his victories and the most notable and favorable events in David's life. Instead, it tends to focus on maybe his shortcomings and his failures. We know that he failed in the matter of Bathsheba. And we know that he was not a good father. And that may be reflected in what we read earlier on in that chapter. Although my house be not so with God, and so on. But it does seem that David had many, many notable victories. And some of the incidents that are recorded for us here relating to these heroes, we know nothing about them other than what we find here in this chapter and the parallel chapter in 2 Chronicles. So there were many mighty men loyal to David, fighting men, who threw in their lot with David, recognizing that despite his shortcomings and despite his failures, he was without doubt God's man. He was the truly anointed king of Israel. And they knew he was a man of faith and God's man. And they threw in their lot with him. And one of them was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. And we know very little of him other than what's recorded here. It seems he went to fight with David and Israel against the Philistines. And we're told the men of Israel were gone away. They abandoned the fight. For whatever reason, we do not know. Now, this man here carried on fighting single-handedly. And we are told that the Lord brought a great victory that day. And in some sense, maybe to rub wounds or rub into his wounds, the people returned after the fight only to gather the spoil. So we want to derive some lessons from this character and this incident here. And we want to stir ourselves up that we might hold fast, that we might be ones like him, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. We're not concerned about having our names on a military roll of honor. But friends, if we are true-hearted Christians, We enroll in the army of David's greater son, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are soldiers of the cross, and we belong unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We own him as our captain of our salvation. He is our trailblazer. As Eliezer followed David and obeyed David's orders, so we obey David's greater son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our trailblazer. He's the captain of our salvation, and we are going to follow him. And if we have to be like Eliezer, and if we have to stand alone, then that's what we shall do. Because, friends, that's what's required of Christians, especially in our day and in our generation. Well, four very brief things to say from these verses. First of all, for our encouragement, we have here the power of the individual. The power of the individual. Now, the minister is not about to exalt man in any sense of the word. But here, friends, was an individual who was obeying the orders of David, his master. And it does seem as if the others there who were in the army abandoned him. And he was left alone. And he was fighting the Philistines single-handedly. And of course, we're going to look at the fact that God was with him. Of course, that's true. And no one's going to deny it. But he was there alone. He was there alone. And he continued to fight. The others forsook him. The others left him. But he continued. He had his sword, and he was a soldier for David, and he was going to continue, come what may. You notice, friends, he didn't get on to those who left him. He didn't start criticizing them. He simply went about to do his duty. Here was an individual standing against them, with all this force against them, everything against him, yet he stood and he fought. Is this not a picture for us today to emulate? We could look at the professing Christian church, and there's much to disappoint us. We can see it in some respects, humanly speaking, in free fall. It's declining. Friends, some people are writing the death sentence or the death certificate of the church. Is that not true? We don't believe that will happen, of course, but many worldly people are saying the church is finished. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, there shall be no church. That's what they're telling us. And we could easily get very discouraged. What can we do? We're just poor individuals. Well, what could Eliezer do? He was only one man against a multitude, but he did what he could. He did his duty. And that's what's required of every single Christian. No matter the odds, no matter the overwhelming odds, no matter as we see unbelief rising up against us, rebellion against us, nevertheless, we are to be ones who stand firm, hold fast. We are to be like him. We are not fighting physically as he was, but we're fighting spiritually. And we're fighting for wonderful and eternal realities and verities. Therefore, friends, let us be exactly like him. And don't give up the cause. Many may be forsaking true biblical Christianity. Yes, many are doing it. Many of the soldiers forsook Eliezer. Did he run after them? Did he criticize them? No, he faced them. He did what he could, and he stood with his sword. We do believe the state of the professing Christian church is not what it should be. And professing Christians are not what they should be. Many of them are very worldly. What can you do? You must be otherworldly. Many people in the professing Christian church, they do not love the Lord. What must you do? You must stir yourself up that you would love the Lord. Many in the professing Christian church are not kind. You are to be kind. In other words, you are to be a city that's set upon a hill. The other professing Christians will need to answer for themselves. You will answer for yourself. And you must be what a Christian should be. And you must stand out. That's what's required of us, especially in this wicked and corrupt generation that we live in, where anything passes as being a Christian. You simply go to church and you're regarded as a Christian. Is that not so? You don't have to have a distinctive life. Well, friends, the only way that true Christians will shine and be noticed is when they act like true Christians. We are supposed to be ones who love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be everything to us. Do people know it? Oh, many in the professing Christian church know nothing of loving Christ. Therefore, we are to love Him. And that will show and that will shine. We must do what we can do and not to worry about other people, not to worry about them. Let us, therefore, rise up. Grasp the opportunity, see our responsibilities, and live as a Christian should live. And as we see many people making faults and mistakes, let us not be like them. They might be lax, let us be strict. They might not think much of the Word of God, let us love the Word of God. They might not think much of the Lord's Day. Let us treasure the Lord's Day. Let us see that the Lord's Day is our delight. When others who are professing Christians can be found running marathons or doing their shopping on the Lord's Day, let us do what is right. And that, friends, will show to the world whose we are and whom we serve. Well, the power of the individual. We might not think we can do much. Who are we? A small group. Many of us are elderly. What kind of influence have we got? Friends, you leave these things in the hands of God. Do your duty. Fight like a man. Be a Christian. And let the results be in the hands of God. Secondly, we would notice here a lesson in personal weakness. A lesson in personal weakness. Verse 10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. He was only a man. He may well have been a good soldier, valiant, brave, fit, active. But there was only so much he could do. He's one man against so many. And if he was fighting all day, defending himself and killing the enemy, it would take his toll upon him, no matter how fit that he was, and no matter how young, and no matter how active. The time would come when he would be weary because of all his physical exertion and activity. After all, friends, he was only a man. Well, what is the lesson we could learn there for ourselves? Well, we may be in the Christian battle, and we may be disappointed because we are somewhat weary. There's no disgrace in being weary. There is no disgrace in fighting and being active in the Christian life, and as a result of that, you are weary. You're weary in it, not weary of it. There's a big difference. And it's only right and fit and proper that if we're active in the Christian life, if we take Christianity serious and we are really following the Lord with all our effort, then, friends, this will be inevitable for us. We will know weariness in the battle, in the fight, not weary of it. And this is the case that we found here. Perhaps Eliezer became weary because of the enormous amount of his enemies. Here he was, single-handed. We don't know how many there were, but they seemed to come at him all the time. He would dispense with this one and that one and this one and that one, and then they would come again at him. It was relentless. It was ongoing. That's the way it may be for you. You're fighting a spiritual battle. You win one battle, you destroy one enemy, as it were. You seem to capture or captivate one sin, or win against one sin, and another sin rises up against you. It's an ongoing battle, and you get weary as a result of it. Don't be disappointed. Don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised. Because if you really are in the battle, you're only flesh and blood. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And friends, fighting the good fight will demand all our energy. And it will indeed cause us to be weary in it, not of it. Perhaps he was weary because no one was helping him. Single-handed and all this enemy. And here he was, alone. You might feel like that. And very often the Christian is alone. A Christian can be alone in his own congregation. The Christian can be alone in the deacon's court or the kirk session. A deacon can be alone in his own home or can be alone in his own denomination. He can be fighting by himself. It is, in many cases, the Christian and God alone sometimes. That's the way it can be. The Christian life can be a lonely life. And that in itself can be taxing, to fight by yourself. By yourself, indeed, can be quite wearisome. But don't be surprised. Here was a man, a model of an individual, and he was weary. Weary in the fight. Well, thirdly, we might notice from these verses the intensity of the hero's zeal. We are told again in verse 10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. Here the sword was, as it were, stuck to his hand. He was fighting with the sword. He was gripping it intensely. It was his life. If he did not fight, he would die. The Philistines were not out to have a Sunday school picnic with him. They were out to destroy him. It was, he had to kill or be killed. He had to defend himself with every ounce of energy that he had. And this sword was his weapon. And he gripped it with such a tremendous grip. And fighting with it all day, it was as if the sword stuck to him continually. There is a very, very important spiritual lesson for us all here, friends. The Christian has a sword, and it is a mighty and a powerful sword. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is the Word of God. And as the Christian is fighting the good fight of faith, he is to grip this Word. And in some sense, this Word is to grip him, and he's to hold it intensely. And he's not to let this Word go. It's to be in him. It's to permeate him. It's to work on him, feed him, and protect him, because the fiery darts of the devil will come. And how are you going to stand against the devil? You're not a Christian, the devil says to you. You have these kind of thoughts. You have said this. You're not a Christian. How are you going to fight against that? You take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And Christians must hold on to this Word. It must be our meat and our drink. And not only the Word, obviously, but what's contained in the Word. The teachings of this Word. And what are the basic teachings of Christianity, friends? You all know your three R's. Well, the three R's of Christianity are ruined by the fall, righteousness by Christ, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. These are the very essential ingredients of ABC saving Christianity, and we cannot know them enough. We are absolutely undone and ruined by the fall. There's no hope for our salvation unless God comes and rescues us. Mankind cannot pull himself up by the bootstrings, as it were. He cannot pull his socks up. He cannot change over a new leaf. He cannot become a new individual. It cannot be done. He is ruined by the fall. And he has no desire to be right with God. He hates God. Such is the effect of sin upon us. And we need to know that. And not only do we know and need to know that we're ruined by the fall, but blessed be God, we must look unto the Lord Jesus Christ and have his righteousness. We must have this wonderful, divine, imputed righteousness. It must be ours. And that's what the gospel gives to us, does it not? It gives us Christ in all his fullness. We have a wonderful righteousness whereby we can stand before Almighty God. When angels veil their faces, the Christian can stand before God. And let us never give up this truth, friends. Justified by faith, having the righteousness of Christ. We don't earn it. We receive it by faith alone. This is the very heart of biblical Christianity. This is what saves people's souls. This is what has turned the world upside down. It's justification by faith. This is what brought about the great work of the Reformation. When Martin Luther saw this truth, wonderful things happened, friends. And the moment the church gives up this, there's no gospel to proclaim. No gospel. And as a Christian church and as Christians, we must hold fast to that truth. How can a sinner be right with God? Only by the imputed righteousness of Christ and received by faith alone. These are the things that we must hold on to and not give up. Ruined by the fall, righteousness by Christ, and the wonderful spiritual resurrection of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration, new life. This is what marks out Christianity. New life. Mankind is dead in trespasses and sins by nature. But the Holy Spirit makes us alive. Oh, alive. Alive to God's spiritual life. And friends, if we don't have this, whatever we might have, we'll never be in glory. And it might not be a popular thing to say, but you must have this. You must be born again. Hold fast these truths. Never let them go. And as Eliezer held on to his sword, hold on to that sword and the teachings of the Word of God. Don't get distracted with subjects that are of secondary or third or fourth rate importance. Let us major on the major things and let us be ones who live in these glorious and wonderful truths. Avoid of all things, friends, getting involved in minimalism. Minimalism, what does that mean? Well, it's a kind of teaching today amongst professing Christians. They just do the very bare minimum. The very bare minimum. To get them to come to the house of God is a struggle. Oh, we'll come out one Lord's Day, and the minister's not talking about elderly who have difficulty getting out, and that's not what I'm talking about. I hope people will clearly understand. I'm talking about professing Christians who are fit and active and who could be in the house of God, and they are not in the house of God. That's what I'm talking about. It's not a problem in our congregation, but you know it's a problem in other places in the professing Christian church where the Christian just does the minimum amount to keep his interest up in the congregation, as it were. Oh, let us have none of that. None of that. Do you find any kind of minimalism here in Eliezer as he stood against his enemy? Far from it. He was wholehearted there. Standing alone, that's the way it must be for us, friends. Especially in this wicked and corrupt generation. that we find ourselves living in. The Bible says, and you've heard the minister talk about it, to make your calling and election sure. Well, you cannot call yourself. You cannot do it. And you cannot elect yourself. You cannot do it. These are things that God alone does. He calls. And only He calls. He elects, and only He elects. But you must make your calling and election sure. That's what you're required to do. How do we do that? We live like a Christian. It's not salvation by works. The minister's preaching, far from it. But the minister is most certainly saying, if we take the precious name of Jesus Christ upon us, then let us live worthy of that name. Here was Eliezer of the house of Israel. And he alone stood as all of them should have stood. Well, then briefly and finally, we might notice here in this text that God received all the glory. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. As I said, we know very little of this day. We cannot seem to go into the history of it. Only what is recalled for us there. But the Bible makes it clear that although Eliezer did the fighting, the Lord wrought a great victory. And this, friends, should be our great goal and great aim in life. We don't do what we do to be seen of men. If you're looking for your reward from men, you'll get your reward. But that's not what we're after. The true-hearted Christian wants to receive a crown from Jesus Christ. And when he receives that crown, friends, he casts it at the feet of Jesus again, because he knows he has received that crown only because he has been saved by grace. And whatever he has done by the grace of God. God has empowered him. God has enabled him. Yes, he has been the one who has actually fought. There's no question about it. God does not fight for us. We must be in the battle. But we recognize it's all of grace. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, or I should say, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what Eliezer was doing there when he fought. He was working out his own salvation with fear and trembling as he was fighting. He was doing it. And then it goes on to say, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Eliezer did the fighting, but God was with him. And God's going to get the glory. And that's the way it will be for you, Christian. When you cross that Jordan and into Emmanuel's land, and when you meet the Lord Jesus, receiving that crown of life, you'll cast it back at his feet, praising him for the wonderful salvation that he has wrought through you. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray together.